When I was a little boy, every Thanksgiving, my parents, siblings, and I would travel to Northeast Oklahoma to visit with my father's side of the family. One year, outside of Topeka, Kansas, our car broke down. As my father lifted the hood of the car to see what was wrong, a number of different vehicles just whizzed right past us. Finally, a man in a pickup truck pulled in behind us. And not only did he offer to go and get the tool that my dad needed to fix the car, but he also insisted that those of us shivering inside of the car come to his house where we could warm up. When he brought us into his home, his wife was very gracious. She even made lunch for us. After the car was fixed and we were ready to resume our journey, they refused to take any money from my parents for their kindness. And so as we all piled into the car, my mother said to us kids, "Now we need to pray for those good Samaritans." And for years, I thought the couple's name was Mr. and Mrs. Samaritan. I never said I was the brightest kid in the world. But I thought of this couple as I reflected on our gospel reading today from Luke, which is divided into three parts. In part one, Jesus and a scholar of the law discuss what a person must do to inherit eternal life. And eventually they agree that what a person must do is to show absolute and total allegiance and fidelity to God, which in turn manifests itself in love of God and love of neighbor. The scholar then presses Jesus to specifically identify who should be considered a neighbor. Now, in ancient Palestine, this would have been a fair question because there were differing views on the subject. There were some who held to the view outlined in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which states that a neighbor is someone of your own people. But there were others who adopted what was written in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 to 34, which states that a neighbor to be loved includes foreigners. And since there was no consensus among the religious leaders as to which part of Leviticus should be honored, the scholar asked Jesus what he thinks. And this prompts Jesus to tell the parable of this Good Samaritan, which leads to part two. The setting of the parable is the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, a distance of about 18 miles. In Jerusalem, the road is about 2,500 feet above sea level. In Jericho, the road is 800 feet below sea level, a distance of 3,300 feet. And so the road was very windy and curvy, which was an ideal place for robbers to hide. The road was considered to be very, very dangerous, which is why most people traveled it in groups. But in the parable, a man is traveling by himself when he is attacked and robbed. But the focus is not on the victim or his attackers. The focus of the parable is on the three people that come by afterwards. The first two are religious leaders, a priest and a Levite. And for whatever reasons, they just go past the man. The third person is a Samaritan. Now we need to understand that Samaritans' ancestors were Jews who intermarried with pagans. So for the Jews of ancient Israel, the Samaritans were considered half-breeds and heretics. Jews and Samaritans hated each other, and they wanted nothing to do with each other. And yet, in the parable, It is the Samaritan who is moved with compassion to help the Jewish victim. In part three, Jesus then asks the scholar, which person acted as a neighbor to the victim? And the scholar replies, the one who treated him with mercy. So Jesus tells him to go and do likewise. Now, for our reflection today, the question is not, who is my neighbor? The question is, how am I to love my neighbor? Keeping in mind that neighbor could be a stranger. Neighbor could be someone you don't like or who doesn't like you. The question is, how do I love my neighbor? In the English language, the term love is often associated with emotion and action. And people often think that love must include feeling something for someone and doing something good for someone. But St. Thomas Aquinas, the 13th century theologian, wrote that true love seeks the good of another person and endeavors to do what is right and just for others. Therefore, love does not mean that you have to feel something for someone else. But it does mean that you must act always in that person's best interest. So to go back to outside of Topeka, Kansas, I don't think that wife was feeling the love when her husband brought home a family of strangers on the day before Thanksgiving. And yet, she was so kind to us. Today you are invited to consider two things. First, recall a time in your own life when you experienced the love of a Good Samaritan and the difference that made for you. And then second, see what opportunities the Lord gives you this week to be a Good Samaritan of love to someone else. As you ponder and act on our gospel reading today, let me close with these words by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in a sermon he once gave, because he gives a great insight into how we should approach love of neighbor. This is what Dr. King once said. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, I imagine that the first question the priest and Levite asked was, if I stop and help this man, what will happen to me? But by the very nature of his concern, the Good Samaritan reversed the question and asked, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?